Recorded.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother, I can
dig it.
Stop it. Right on.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour, the hottest show on Saturday mornings in Jacksonville on Praise 107.9. And now, here's your host on the Empowerment Hour, Dr. Richard Danforth, president of the Jacksonville Urban League, Jarman Leitner, president of First Thursday, and the producer and host, W. Larry Williams, CEO of Anchor Multicultural Communications Company.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams, your host, along with my co-host, Dr. Richard Danforth, the president of the Jacksonville Urban League, Jarman Leitner, president of Harvest Mental Health Services in Jacksonville. Hey, team, welcome to the Empowerment Hour, and happy Saturday morning.
Yes, good morning. Happy Saturday to you and Dr. Danforth and all of our listeners. Again, another wonderful day to be here, a wonderful time, and just glad to and excited to share with my team again.
Yeah, it's good to be here as well, and we've got quite a number of guests today, and I have a special guest early, and I need to introduce her. As a matter of fact, I'm going to allow her to introduce herself. But Erica, you're on. Tell us who you are and what will happen or what has happened on Friday.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Hello, listeners. Thank you for actually tuning in today. My name is Erica, and I am with the National Urban League. But I am actually based here in Jacksonville. Our purpose here is to bring awareness and engage the community here to actually come out and vote and make sure that their voices are being heard, especially during this time in this election this year.
So I understand we had a nice rally on yesterday. What is it, protest to the polls?
We are actually protesting to the polls today from 3 to 5 here in Jacksonville. We'll be beginning the march from 3 to 5 at the downtown courthouse across street from PETA Pit. And then we'll be walking about 5 blocks down to the supervisor election office. So if anybody has not registered or you know someone who has not registered, we will be there till 5 o'clock today. And we will be assisting those to get registered. And if there's any information that they need to know regarding voting, any questions, anything like that, we are there to help as well.
What about going forward?
Going forward, okay, perfect. We have several activities that we will be planning here in Jacksonville locally so we can get the community out. We know COVID is out and people are a little weary, but honestly, there are people that are wanting to come out to home and interact. So we're planning a few events. We have one webinar virtual that will be on September 26th. And then we have two other events that we are wrapping up with details. And I am going to make sure Mr. Danforth brings that information to you guys for next week's show.
Great.
Okay, and just for our listening audience, this is being pre-taped on Friday, and that's why Erica alluded to today. So it's actually occurred yesterday, and we advise you to contact the Jacksonville Urban League for more information about the rally for your vote.
That is correct.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Erica, and congratulations on the position. I hope that we have a good turnout and you guys get many folks out there registered to vote.
That's the goal. Thank you so much.
Okay, so we're moving around the horn here, and as we do in our first segment, we talk about what's going on in Jacksonville, and we have a lot of things that's happening. We had 12 more deaths Thursday in Jacksonville, and that so far is considered the deadliest week for Northeast Florida. It's terrible. You know, we're talking about rallies and things like that. And we hope that if you're going outside, if you're participating in rallies and so forth, mask up and social distance, please. You know, we don't need any more folks dying because of this virus and because of our neglect.
Larry, we don't need to use it as an excuse not to vote. You know, we cannot.
Absolutely not. But you can still vote safely.
Yes, you can vote safely. You can vote. You can vote at home. You know, you can send your ballot in. So
absolutely.
Yes, and those early voting dates are actually October the 24th through the 31st. So within a month, you'll be able to begin early voting. And the general election voting day is November 3rd.
And so, let's not let fake news discourage us from voting. Please exercise your right to vote, if nothing else. And of course, we're not telling you who to vote for, but exercise your right to vote.
All right. So we see that the census deadline is coming up on us on September 30th. And, the census, Dr. Danford and Jarman, is that will decide where $1.5 trillion will go for 316 federal programs over the next decade. What are your comments on that?
Yeah, it's this whole census, I see it as a debacle. I mean, on the one hand, we have the encouragement of doing the census, but then on the other hand, perhaps from the government, that's putting obstacles up to keep people, you know, from filling out the census.
Absolutely. Jarman, what's your comment?
Well, I just saw recently on the news that each person that is accounted for in per household who fills out the census, that's $10,000 per person that's allocated for resources in that area. So, I mean, you know, the news report just broke it down. $10,000 per person in that household that has filled out that census and is accounted for. That's what's going towards your community. So just think about households that have lots of people that, you know, are still afraid to complete this census. Right. You know, it's just it's data that's needed for resources to be allocated for our communities, for resources, for programs. So please fill out your census. It's a lot shorter from what I've been explained than what it was years ago. And they're not delving into, you know, all into your business. It's to take an account.
Okay. So
let the COVID-19 discourage us from doing this, filling out our census form. Okay.
Yeah, you can do it online, or if not, we have a few more days in this month, and someone may be knocking on your door. Don't turn them away. They're not there to do anything but to help you.
Make sure you see that badge, though. Make sure
they have a mask on.
Absolutely.
And a badge.
And a badge, yes.
Good point. So we see that the a federal judge in Yakima, Washington, is blocking the Postal Service's changes that slowed the mail down, and that's what are you guys thinking on that? I mean, you know, 14 states filed a lawsuit against the Trump administration about this, and particularly the DeJoy, the guy who's appointed to the Postal Service as the director. What's going on with that?
Is this the guy that paid $600,000 to the campaign or whatever to
get? Yes, sir.
Boy, I tell you, money, I tell you, it's all about the money.
Yeah, I didn't know that you could buy jobs, though. So I guess, I'll be unemployed for a long time because I don't have $600,000 to buy a job.
Wow.
And so this sounds like an infringement upon rights. I mean, just to hinder people from.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. So we're going to wrap up this segment of the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams with Dr. Richard Danforth, Jarmon Leitner, and we'll be back after this music selection. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9 FM.
The ultimate gospel experience, the new Praise 107.9. The new Praise 107.9.
May we have your attention, because
let me tell you about a man who knows all of my flaws but still loves me. Let me introduce you to this man who won't ever bring your past up again.
If you're not too busy,
do you have a minute to listen? About the one who can replace all that's missing.
I can't really put it in the words, but that's just,
there is just something about me.
I don't know everything, but I know this.
I know that I cannot live without him.
We want to tell you about him. He's our healer.
He's my healer.
Jehovah Rapha.
My Savior.
My way maker.
My way maker.
My joy.
My joy.
My joy.
My provider.
Strong tower.
My strong tower.
But most importantly,
and he gave his life for me.
His name.
His name is Jesus.
Jesus.
So sweet.
Sweet Jesus.
Sweet Jesus.
I've met a lot of great people, but I realize
there's nobody like Jesus.
Nobody like Jesus. Because when I'm sick, he's my healer.
He's my healer.
Drowning in my sins.
My Savior.
Way.
My joy.
I didn't have a job,
my provider,
but he provided for me. But most importantly,
he gave his life for me.
There's only one name.
His name is Jesus.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Sweet Jesus.
There's nobody.
There's nobody like Jesus.
There's nobody.
Nobody, Lisa.
Sweet.
Sweet.
Jesus.
I've met a lot of great people, but I realize there's nobody like Jesus.
There's nobody like
Come on,
Jesus.
Lisa.
Oh, ain't nobody like Jesus. Mm. Yeah.
Nobody. There's nobody like Jesus.
I remember my grandmama told me he'll be a friend. For the friendless,
yeah.
He'll be a company keeper in the midnight hour.
There's nobody like Jesus.
And every time I have a burden that I can't seem to bear, I found out that I can call on Jesus.
There's nobody like Jesus.
If you call his name,
Jesus.
Your body can be healed.
Jesus.
Your soul can be saved.
And welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams with my co-host, Dr. Richard Danforth of Jacksonville Urban League, Jarmon Leitner, Harvest Mental Health Services. And we have a special guest. We're going to talk about Hispanic Heritage Month that is running September 15th through October 15th. And our guest this morning is Glenda Torres from TD Bank. And welcome, Glenda. And tell us a little bit about what is Hispanic Heritage Month, and is that the correct name for it?
So, yes, thank you, Larry. I'm glad to be here. So, the National Hispanic Hispanic Heritage Month, like you said, runs September 15th through October 15th. And it's just recognizing the contributions and the influence of Hispanic Americans to history, culture, and just achievements in the U.S. The great thing about the National Hispanic Heritage Month, it really not only highlights all those contributions, but it lets, you know, the youth and people in the States know that we do contribute to so many amazing things in this country. We are very proud to be Americans and even more proud to share all the wonderful things that our culture brings. It's not just about salsa and merengue and all the great food, but, you know, on a professional level, what we bring to the table and all the good stuff that we can do.
Is this an annual event?
Yes. So every year, September 15th through October 15th.
Oh, great. I know Dr. Danvers had a question about the new Hispanic Heritage name. So go ahead, Doctor.
Well, buenas tardes, senora. It's good to have you back with us. And you're looking good. Just want you to know that you're with TD Bank, of course, and we need to send a shout out to them. Anything special happening with your company as it relates to this month?
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff. So, you know, most companies, we all have our diversity and inclusion groups, and we take every opportunity, you know, during the year to celebrate every culture. So this is no different. We celebrate it every day. So if you come by where my location is, you wouldn't be surprised to see the Puerto Rican flag, right? Okay. Some decorations in the back. Today, I know you guys see me, but the audience does it, right? I have my ancestry shirt on, you know, showing the Taino Indians. And then as far as out in the community, COVID-X has really changed the way we do things. So normally, as you know, I'm on the board for the Puerto Rican Hispanic Chamber with Nancy Quiñones. And normally we try to do some events out in the community just to bring all the Latin communities together. We can't do that this year, but what we can do is still celebrate all the wonderful things that make up our culture.
So you mentioned Latin. What about this Latinx that we're hearing so much about?
Yeah. Great question, because I hadn't heard about it until I was watching one of the political commercials that are going on, and they mention Latinx, and I'm like, what the heck is that? I have no idea. So of course, like everybody else, we go in, right, and we look it up. So apparently this Latinx is a gender neutral neologism. I can't even say the word, to be honest, because I'm like, this is the note that I took. And it's just used instead of Latino or Latina to refer to people of Latin American culture. But a little secret, right, is some Latin cultures, they don't even like to be called Latin to begin with, right? Because when you insinuate Latin, you're insinuating, you know, that they're coming from, you know, old world Latin, and we're not. We're from each of our individual countries or backgrounds, right? So I'm Puerto Rican, so we're called Boricuas. We're not, you know, they call us Latinos, and if they call us Latinos, we accept it, but it's like, yeah, whatever. Like, we don't really think much of it. Mm-hmm. But if you want to speak more to the heritage of a Latin person, then it would be more, we appreciate it more when it's more relatable to the actual culture. So if you're Mexican, right? Mexico is huge. So are you Mayan? Are you from Cabos? Are you from, you know, Tijuana? Like, do you have a specific name? Colombian, right? Mm-hmm. All those different countries, they have their own cultures. Although we speak a version of Spanish, it's not the same Spanish.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Well, does that answer?
How would someone like me know the difference?
You don't, because someone like me sometimes...
You won't know, Larry.
I asked Glenda, Doc.
Okay.
Yeah, Dr. Danforth, if you can answer that, oh my gosh, please. Go for it. Well, you know, you learn over time the differences. Like when I speak to someone who is of a Latin or a Spanish background, usually the dialect, right, their accent... you start to know the difference of, you know, which country someone is from. But the reality is, as an American, if you don't speak Spanish, you wouldn't know. It's right. Funny, you know, people get offended when they say, oh, you all look alike. Well, we kind of do, right? We all have like some kind of a Spanish distinctive feature that makes us look different or stand out in a way. And
well, you shouldn't, listen, you shouldn't feel bad, because we've had numerous names over the years, from color,
absolutely,
black, yep, Negro, to, I mean, on and on and on. So,
yeah. Well, and Dr. Danforth, that's a phenomenal point, right? Because one of the things that most, I know, and I can speak for Puerto Ricans and in general, I think, right, is we are extremely proud of our heritage. And our heritage is a combination of three cultures. It's Africans from Africa, right? Not just, you know, African-American. It's Spaniards, and it's the Taino Indian, who were the indigenous people in Puerto Rico at the time of the invasions, right? So, I mean, I have uncles, my grandmother, Dr. Danforth, her skin color was as dark as yours. And look at me. I look like Casper, right? In comparison. But it's a wonderful thing, because we embrace it and we love it. And I think that's why it's so, you know, sometimes so hard for like a person like me to understand, you know, when people get named all those ridiculous names, or get profiled or stereotyped, because the reality is, it's like an egg, right? You crack it, everybody looks the same. So in this day and age, you know, celebrating this month to me is like celebrating all the different cultures that make me unique.
Awesome.
It's awesome. And Glenda, I just wanted to speak to, I know that you mentioned a little bit about TD Bank and how you all celebrate all cultures. And during this time, we know that diversity and inclusion is at the forefront of a lot of companies, and just the forefront of our minds, just making sure that we are being inclusive of all cultures, and being mindful and being aware and appreciative of what we all bring to the table, our contribution. So speak a little bit about how your company is delving into that.
Well, I wish I really could, but because it was short notice for this, you know, and speaking on behalf of TD, I would have had to really get clearance to do that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But what I can tell you from a personal perspective is, as an employee of the bank and not speaking on behalf of the bank, one of the reasons why I really enjoy working for this company and will work for this company as long as they'll have me is because of that. It's because of the amazing job that they do with being inclusive and really caring about their employees and wanting to make sure that everyone is treated the same way and has the same opportunities. And that's just Glenda speaking as an employee of the bank. And, you know, and like I had mentioned, which I can mention, is one of the leads for the diversity, inclusion, and minorities in leadership in North Florida. And we have that throughout the footprint. So that's a phenomenal way for me to see firsthand and also contribute to all the great stuff that we do. And that's, again, just me not speaking on behalf of TD Bank, but as an employee and a proud employee at that, of all the great stuff that we do.
How has the Hispanic community in Jacksonville come together about voting and filling out their census information?
Well, we've been driving that pretty strongly. I was actually at an event where we were doing the Hunger Feed Florida. Sorry, I got that so bad. Arlene is going to kill me for that. but during every event that they have hosted, including the chamber on their websites everywhere, is just making sure that people are being counted, right? Making sure that people are taking those census, you know, forms very seriously. I think the fear for some of the Hispanic community is that, you know, if you're not completely documented, which some people aren't, but they're very hard workers and they're here contributing to society, they're afraid that that's somehow going to highlight them. And it's great. Not true.
Yeah. It's not true. And Glenda, we got to wrap this up. And
yes,
we thank you for coming on and talking about the Hispanic Heritage Month. And it will be celebrated September 15th through October 15th. And we look forward to getting you back out in the community and working with us. This is Praise 107.9 FM, The Empowerment Hour. We'll be back after this music selection.
The ultimate gospel experience, the new Praise 107.9.
He'll make it all right. Whatever you want,
whatever you want,
God is able,
God is able,
whatever you need,
whatever you need,
He'll supply,
He'll supply,
whatever. Whatever is broken,
whatever is broken,
He can fix it.
He can fix it.
No need to worry.
No need to worry.
He's alive.
He's alive.
Whole church, He'll make it all right. Listening.
He's listening.
Whatever you pray.
Whatever you pray.
He knows.
He knows.
Whatever the answer.
Whatever the answer.
He's got me.
He's got me.
We know He's sovereign.
We know He's sovereign.
He's in control.
He's in control.
Whole church, He'll make it all right.
Richard Danford, Jarman Leitner, and our special guest this segment is Warren Jones, who's the chairman of the board, Duval County Public Schools. Good morning and welcome, Dr. Jones.
I'm Warren. Thank you. Thank you, Larry, for inviting me, and appreciate the opportunity to talk about the Half Penny for Schools.
Yes. Well, great, great, great. And our team has lots of questions. So, Jarman.
Yes. All right. Good morning, Chairman. I just wanted to know how long has Duval been waiting for, you know, an opportunity such as this to come along where we can vote to pass a tax that will help to improve our local schools in Duval County?
Well, certainly we waited too late, in my opinion. It should have been done, should have happened years ago. But certainly since 2016, when I got on the board, the board had just hired Jacobs Engineering to conduct an engineering study, which is required by state statute every 10 years, of every school building in the city of in Duval County, let's put it that way. And after getting that study completed, by that time, Dr. Green was on board, and so late 2018, she talked to us about perhaps doing a half penny for schools because of the condition of our schools. We have the oldest schools, as I'm sure many people have heard now, we have the oldest schools in the state of Florida. I don't know if that was on purpose, by design or not, but we are today sitting with the oldest schools in the state of Florida. We have schools on average of 44 years of age. Of course, many of our schools are over 100 years old. Annie Morgan Elementary, one in my district, and the oldest school, Henry H. Kite on Lim Turner, is the oldest in the district right now. It was built during the Spanish-American War.
What?
Yes, ma'am. So we have 100, based on the last count I made, we have 121 of our 157 schools that were built prior to 1970. And I use that mark for two reasons. One, 1970 is when they required the crosstown busing to integrate the schools. But also keep in mind that 1970, every school that was built to promote segregation. And of the 157 schools that we have, 121 were built prior to 1970. And of those 121 schools, all but three were built without air conditioning. So that means...
Wait a minute. All but three?
Yeah.
Wow. All but 21?
Out of the 121 schools that were built prior to 1970, all but three, Raines, Fletcher, and Butler, were built without air conditioning. They were retrofitted with air conditioning later on.
Okay.
But that's very expensive. And also... even a higher number of those schools were built prior to the invention of the internet. And as you know now, almost all the state testing is done on the computer. So we've had to spend a lot of dollars, the district has, over the decades to retrofit our schools. And Dr. Green, after the getting the facilities condition index study from Jacobs Engineering, she noticed that so many of our schools needed to be replaced. And the other good part about it is not only does it improve the working condition of the students and the teachers who work in those schools every day, but studies have shown that students perform better academically when you have a newer school. And so many counties throughout, I don't want to go on and on, but many schools throughout, many districts throughout the state have already found a way to supplement the funding. The state of Florida requires the districts to lower the millage rate so that we generate the same amount of dollars that we did year before. But what's really hurting the effort to improve our schools statewide has been the recession back in 2008, when the legislature required us to lower the millage for capital improvements, which was at 2 mills, which is $2 per $1,000 of every valuation of your property, from 2 mills to 1.5 mills. And over the last 12 years since that reduction happened, we've lost in revenue of about $300 million. But guess what? Our capital improvement list today is right at $300 million. So we understand why they did it, because we were in a recession. They wanted to help the recovery, so they lowered the millage rate, but they said they were going to increase it. Well, they didn't. And because they didn't do it, counties throughout the state of Florida have implemented a sales tax for schools. Clay County has that already. St. John's County has the half penny for schools. Clay has it on the ballot next November, like we do, and many, I think 26 districts throughout the state of Florida have already passed a half penny for schools because of the position that we've been put in by our state legislature.
Now, Chairman Jones, you've also been on the city council for a number of years, so you're really seasoned in terms of the history of Jacksonville with the school system and the council.
That's a nice way of saying I'm old, but go ahead.
No, I'm not. Very good experience. So you know that what is happening in many of our low-income communities, particularly in the Northwest area, and the city council is considering providing a certain percentage now of funding to now go back into the Northwest area to try to catch up. I don't see how we'll ever be able to catch up because it's so expensive now. Do you have any comments and some advice that you could share with the city council now that you're not on it?
Well, yeah, I think it's a start. It's going to take years, if not decades, to complete a lot of the infrastructure improvements that are needed in the Northwest Quadrant. I think the bill that's pending before council targets first the old core city, and then hopefully you spread out to the Northwest Quadrant. But the initial bill that's pending now targets the core city, the old core city limits, which were the people who kind of were left behind first, and then go out to the Northwest Quadrant.
Okay, well, you know, you with the COVID-19 virus spreading and like it has been over the past 6 months, that definitely has to have an effect on those older schools, correct?
Well, yes. It has effect even without the pandemic, but I think it's the problem is exacerbated because of that, because the air quality is not the best. The systems are old. The district for the last 15 years, they have been basically repairing AC units and repairing roofs and not replacing roofs and not replacing the units. Every day there are two or three schools that have lost the air conditioning and we have to go in and repair it. So we spend on average $500,000 a month just repairing and servicing AC units and roofs. So that's $6 million a year that we could save once we get caught up with our capital improvements.
What do you want us to do about this half penny?
We want you to vote for it. We want you to go to DuvalSchools.org, DCBS. You can go to that website. You can donate. You can get yard signs. You can get plings for your car. It gives you information. Or you can go to our schools, OurDuvalSchools.org, and look at the plan. The plan clearly shows which schools will be, what will be done to each school. And keep in mind, when Dr. Danforth talked about the Northwest Quadrant, one of the criticisms of one of our esteemed council members was that two school board districts were getting 45% of the funding, which is almost half. Well, that is true. And those two districts happen to be districts 4 and 5, which includes city council districts 7, 8, 9, and 10. And for the first time, you have a superintendent and a school board who felt very strongly that we needed to address our needs. And the needs are greatest in the core city. Right. They have the oldest schools, they have the most schools, but they also the oldest schools. So there are some consolidations so we can provide more services to our students. If you don't have enough students in a school, then you don't get a full-time PE teacher. You don't get a full-time math teacher or art teacher. So once you get to that 500 student capacity, then you can get a full time. Otherwise, you have one that comes in 2 or 3 days a week. But our students in the core city deserve a full time arts, PE, and music instruction.
Okay, Chairman Jones, you can hang on. We got to take a break here, if you can. If not, we appreciate you hopping on and talking with us about the half penny and what it will do for our schools. This is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. We'll be back after this music selection.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Understand. What do you let me fall? in his place.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams with Richard Danford, Jarman Leitner, and our education contributor and board member of the Duval County Public Schools, Daryl Willie. Daryl, good morning and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. Always good to see you, brother.
Always feeling empowered when I'm on with y'all. It's great to be
all
here.
Right. Yep. All right. Well, yeah, you got to keep
the checks in the mail, too.
Good job, boy.
You know it.
Hey, Daryl, we just had the chairman of DCPS on, Warren Jones, and got a really a great deal of information that we needed about the half penny tax. But, you know, this is such an important thing for our schools, public schools. We want to continue that conversation with you and some other things about what's going on at DCPS. So what can you tell us in addition to what the chairman has shared with us about the half penny?
Yeah, I caught some of that. And of course, he's done such a great job. He and our past chair before him just kind of getting this to where it is today, because it's not easy to get a tax even up for a vote in sort of this environment. So that's number one. But I think the biggest key, especially to the listeners on this call specifically, is this is going to be an unprecedented amount of dollars and money and resources going into our community. Like, unprecedented. I mean, upwards of $40 million in districts 4 and 5. And to know that that could potentially happen in a vote that's going to happen in a couple months is powerful. It's powerful to know that we're going to see that type of change. So I just want to encourage everyone to go out and vote. Go out and vote. I think people are going to go out and vote anyway. This is a very contentious presidential election. So don't forget to go all the way down to the bottom of that ballot and vote for this half penny sales tax. And people are going to start voting now. I mean, early voting has already begun, or mailing in ballots has already begun. So people, if you already have your ballots or you're getting them soon, make sure you go all the way down and vote for that half penny. Our kids deserve it. They deserve to go into great facilities. Environments are important. People say they are not. People say you can just learn wherever. But people know, like, if you go into your home, you want to make sure your home is nice for you to be in and be around and sleep in. A business, same thing. So I think we need to do that for our kids.
Daryl, identify those, you said districts 4 and 5. What zip codes are those, so that we can make sure that a lot of our listeners live in those districts? And what zip codes are those?
Yeah, it's a lot of zip codes. Let me see. I mean, 3220, 0209, 18. Basically, if you go urban core, all of the urban core, all the way up 95. You wrap around that Dunn, Biscayne area. You go all the way west to West Side, 103rd. It's a huge swath area. And the way I look at it is high school. So Rebalt, Raines, Jackson, Stanton.
Paxson,
all of those high schools that are included right there. West Side High School, all of those are, like, if you live in and around those areas, those are the type of environments that are going to get that money, because it's neglect is what it is, honestly.
Is Robert E. Lee?
Robert E. Lee's not in District 4 and 5, but it is. It's in the district. But that one actually probably has gotten more renovations recently than a lot of the other ones. So if you've ridden by Robert E. Lee recently, the facade of that building, and it's got a new cafeteria on it. But that's what all of our schools should look like. Our schools should all look that good, if not better.
Right. And that's what, again, just highlighting what you and Chairman Jones are saying, it's going to provide those renovations that are well needed, so that the schools are better equipped, you know, to handle technology, and also the air conditioner. You know, air conditioning is just, that's basic. You would think, right, that's just, you know, that's, it's a basic need, but the amount of money that is being spent just on repairs and maintenance alone, you know, the passing of the half cent sales tax would alleviate that. You know, there would not be as much money going towards repairs, because that money would be allocated to actually fix the problem.
Yeah, you mentioned air conditioners. When we passed the tax, Are we going to have some guarantees? If not guarantees, how are we going to include minority participation in building these schools and repairing these schools? Do we have professionals in our communities with the skill sets, the certifications, the training to do some of this work? I mean, because this is a great way to improve the community. If people in the community can work on some of these projects. So who at the school system at that level that we can communicate with to work out a plan to include minorities in participation in this process so we don't get left behind?
No, I think that's a great point. And I think that's one of the things I've been trying to reiterate is the fact that when you have these projects, we should be taking care of our own. And we do have some language in that talks about minority owned businesses and contractors at a certain percentage. And we're going to make sure we revisit that. There's also an oversight committee that we're going to have to ensure that we are doing those projects the right way. And Paul Soares and his team over at the district are the ones that sort of field some of that information now. And what I'm looking to do is set up an opportunity to have folks who may be interested actually just hear like how you can. So if it's a virtual call that we get everybody on and say, hey, how do you get involved? Everything from a contractor down to a person who wants to be on a job site, because you think about the number of jobs that you can create. Yes. With this. And I think it's also an opportunity too, Dr. Danford, is working with some of our nonprofits who are doing some of the training. And if there's no training now, but we can create one, because this is not going to be a one and done, 1 year and done project. This is going to be over 10, 15 years. So if we have programs that can do some training, we need to start to look into that now too. So
I want to make certain that the Urban League is included. I mean, we're opening up ourselves to help in that regard. Whether it's through Zoom, here at the Urban League, we have a training center and we can collaborate with some of the other organizations. So include us as a willing partner to assist.
I like that. No, we'll set that up. And because I think just the information, we perish for a lack of knowledge. And if folks actually know in advance that they can be involved in something, they can get all their paperwork correct. And in fact, the last board meeting I had, folks can come on and do pre-qualifications to be contractors every board meeting. And I asked a question like, what is the timeline for somebody to actually do that? And it's really not that long, but I think people think it's a daunting task because they just haven't done it before. So we need to provide them that space and platform to ask the right questions and get their house in order so they can help build our schoolhouse. Look at that. You see how I did that?
Yes. That's cool, man. That's cool.
Hey, Carol, one other point is that wouldn't it be a wonderful thing for us to drive by those schools being remodeled or built and seeing people that live in that community doing the work on those buildings?
Yes.
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 And there's oftentimes incentives for that. So I know there's oftentimes where for public, when you're building on public spaces, there's incentives for contractors to actually hire folks from there. I'm going to look into that too.
It should be more incentives for the board to address that up front, because you know, if you're talking about getting people to vote, if they're voting for jobs and businesses, that's a great way to get them to the polls and voting in favor of your half penny tax.
Yes,
I agree. Yeah, right. we're going to put people to work for sure.
Okay. And
for our listeners, again, if you heard this, if you are in the area of contracting, if you do any kind of the dump trucks, you know, that kind of labor, you need to prepare yourself for the opportunities that'll be coming if the half cent sales tax pass. And we're encouraging everyone to vote. That voting date is November the 3rd. All right, Larry. Yeah.
And it's the last item on the vote on the ballot, so make sure you go all the way down to the ballot. Don't stop at the top. So vote down the ballot. Okay.
Hey, like this don't stop Wade. At the top. I like that. Don't stop at the top. That's a new slogan.
Larry Wade signing off with Dr. Danford, Jarman Leitner, and our education contributor, Daryl Willie. Roger Henderson in the background. Have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you and talk to you next Saturday morning at 8.